coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, or we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I had to get me out the way and make sure I put everybody in there. Yeah, because I know that I'm not the only one who feel like praising the Lord. I know I got some other prayer warriors and some praise warriors. I got some praise teams out there, folks that really like praising the Lord. The scripture says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. All right, we're so thankful to have you this morning tuning in to the Situation Room. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your workplace, your automobile, wherever you are at, by internet radio. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you. This program would not be a success without your listenership. Amen. We exist because of you. So thank God for you. Today we have a great program scheduled for you today in the Situation Room. Today is the day we focus in on our Bible questions. Yeah, today is the day that we deal with Bible questions and answers. Bible questions and answers. Oh, I just love Bible question and answer. Now listen, just in case you have a Bible question, a question about marriage, a marriage question, a Sunday school question, or a hot topic, or just a question about the Christian life, you can email those questions in to me. I welcome your question. You can email them to me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And you can leave it on my voicemail. All right. Let me get my Bible here. All right. Amen. Let me get my Bible. Let me clear my throat and everything. And let's get ready for our Bible questions and answers. Let me get the questions. All right. Here we go. I went to a church and they had real wine during communion service. Should a church use real wine during communion? Okay, all right. So this person say they went to a church. This one at their church, they went to a church. And they had real wine during communion service. Should a church use real wine during communion? Well, the Bible don't give us a command on exactly what we should use for Holy Communion. We will, you know, you try to stay as close as you can to the scriptures. You know, when Jesus and his disciples, they were celebrating, you know, the last Passover meal, because they was eating Passover, and then after Judas left out, then Christ asked for some bread and he asked for some wine, and so the leftover bread from Passover and the leftover wine from Passover, Jesus took those two elements and he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said that the wine was a picture of his body, was a picture of his shed blood, and the broken bread was a picture of his body. And so those were the two elements that is used in Holy Communion. You gotta understand that there was different kinds of wine in Jesus' day, just like it's different kind of wine in our day. It was, wine that was just like grape juice. And then there was wine like strong drink that made you drunk. You know, in other words, you had some fermented wine and you could get drunk on fermented wine, and then there was unfermented wine, you like grape juice for the most part, and you couldn't get drunk on that. Now, the text don't tell us whether or not, you know, it was fermented, unfermented wine. It just tell us it was wine. Now, you also got to understand that wine back in Jesus' day, and particularly in Israel for the most part, they used it just like water. Yeah, wine, just like, you know, when people come to our houses today, we ask them, do y'all want, a glass of water to drink? Well, they would ask you back in Bible day, you know, in Israel, they, you know, you want something to drink, you want some wine, and because wine was used just like water, because the water was so bad back in the Bible days there in Israel, and in some cities and some places, towns and villages, it was hard to even drink that water. Yeah, and so they used water at all three, wine at all three meals, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was used just like water, but for the most part, it was unfermented. It was used like, you know, grape. We would call it grape juice today. So you gotta weigh that in when you start talking about wine and stuff. I think that it probably was real wine. I think it was probably was real wine. And I think that's why a lot of the churches today use real wine. You know, the Catholic Church, they use real wine at their Holy Communion and service. And there are other churches, Protestant churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches that use real wine. Then there are other churches, good Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches that don't use real wine, but they use grape juice, the fruit of the vine. Now, our church, the church that I pastor, we use grape juice. And the reason, there are several reasons why our church use grape juice instead of, you know, real wine. Because one of the reasons we use grape juice is because the early church had some problems with folks getting drunk during the communion. And you can read about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so we don't want somebody to get drunk, you know, and not necessarily there at the communion table, as it is once they have a little shot, that may whet their taste for wanting more. And so that brings me to another reason we don't use wine, but grape juice, is we don't want to cause anybody to stumble. We don't want to cause nobody to stumble. Some people believe in total abstinence. They want to abstain from alcohol at all time and all places, everywhere, regardless where they go. And this includes the Holy Communion. They don't want to have an ounce of wine. And so I don't want for a person to break their vows by having to come to Holy Communion, and that's the only time that they, you know, drink is at Holy Communion. Now, if you believe in total abstinence, then even at the Holy Communion time, we'll fix it where you won't have to worry about that. And some people, you know, they have conviction that the Christian should not drink. And they don't want their family to drink alcohol. I went to a church once, and we served Holy Communion. And I was visiting, and so the pastor, he wanted me to assist with them with the Holy Communion. And they served the audience first, and then they served the ministers last. And so I should have known something was up, because my son kind of squinted his eyes at me. And my wife kind of batted her eyes at me. But I didn't really think nothing until I took my little shot of Holy Communion. And it was real wine, and that was that Margaret David. I think somebody said that was the Margaret David wine. And I said, wow, you know, it kind of lit me up there. And I wasn't expecting that. But if I would have went first, I could have told them, hey, this is wine, and I don't want my family to have, you know, none of that wine. No. And so I don't want no surprises at Holy Communion. The majority of the church that I'm affiliated with, they have grape juice. And so when people come to our church, they know that they're going to get grape juice and not wine. And even children, they partake of Holy Communion at our church. And it's safe because we have grape juice and not wine. You can't be dogmatic about whether, you know, to use wine or whether to use grape juice. I think it's more or less a preference. As long as whatever you use, the juice or the wine represents the blood of Jesus, and the bread, as long as it represents the body of Jesus, then I think that that's the main thing. Everything else is minor things. So major on the major, and don't major on the minor. All right, let's move on to the next question. All right, if God is everywhere, why he didn't stop those nine why he didn't stop that man from killing those nine people in church. If God is everywhere, why he didn't stop that man from killing those nine people in church? Remember the other week down in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. Remember, there was a man that went into this church on Wednesday night Bible study. He sat through the Bible study, and after the Bible study was over with, he killed nine people there in the church. And so this person is asking, since God is everywhere, why he didn't stop that man from killing those nine people there in the church? Well, now, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. Yeah, God is everywhere. One of the attributes of God and what makes God God is that, number one, God is omnipresent. That means he's in all places all at the same time. And then God is omniscient. That means that he knows all. So God, he's everywhere. And God, he knows everything. In other words, God is God because he knows all and he sees all and he's in everything. He's everywhere. There's not a place that you can go that you can't find God. Matter of fact, look at this psalm, Psalms 139. Psalms 139. You know, I feel your pain, sister. Look at Psalms 139. It says, David says, O Lord, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knows my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You see how God knows everything? Look what it says. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Before you even speak, every word that come on your tongue, God already know about it. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hands upon me. Notice, God is in front of him. God is to the back of him. God has got his hands all on him. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David said, man, this is great. The knowledge of God, the omnipresence of God, is more than we can imagine or think. That this knowledge is too high for us. We don't understand how God can be everywhere all at the same time, but he is. The Bible tells us, David says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. David said, regardless where I go, you there. If I go up to heaven, you there. If I go down to hell, you're there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, David said, man, if I can go to the farthest part of the sea, he said, God is there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shine as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Do you see that? If you try to hide in the dark and can't nobody see you, God see you. night and day is just like the same thing to God. A night is just like day in God's eyesight. God can see you. So he sees all and he knows all and he's everywhere. That's what David is saying. That's what. And when you read the rest of this story, the rest of this psalm, David says, "For thou hast possessed my reign, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." David says, "I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know right well." And so David knew that God made him, and so God is everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And God, he knows all. So you was asking, you know, where, you know, was God, you know, if he's everywhere, then why he didn't stop those people from killing? Well, that's like asking the question too. You know, where was God when Adam and Eve was about to bite off the tree? Huh, have you ever thought about that? Where was God at? Where was God when Cain was about to kill Abel? Where was God? Where was God when the devil was getting ready to kill Job's 10 children with that whirlwind? You know, all right. Where was God when Jesus was being beaten and was being whipped, and then they nailed him to that cross and they was crucifying him? Well, where was God at? Can God stop them from crucifying Jesus? Surely he could, but that was not God's will. See, you think about it. Think about it. Remember, you have to understand God has a greater purpose and a higher purpose. And sometimes we don't understand what God's higher purpose in, you know. So you ask the question, where was God? He was where he always been. God was on the throne. For when Adam and Eve was about to sin, God was on the throne. That didn't disturb God so that made God fall off his throne. When Cain was getting ready to kill Abel, that didn't push God off the throne. Even when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, that did not knock God off the throne. He was where he always been. Even when something good happened, God is on the throne. Something bad happened, God is on the throne. Regardless of what happened, whether it's good or bad, God is always on the throne. In other words, God is still in charge. God never stopped running things. It may even look like the devil is running things. The devil ain't running nothing. The devil is like God's bad, bad, bad dog, but he got him on a long leash. Yeah, God has got that bad dog, the devil, on a long leash. And whenever God get ready to yank him in, God can yank him in when he want to. Now, see, you think about this. Think about this. Before Jesus got to Jerusalem, he told his disciples exactly what was going to happen to him. He said, now, when we get to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me. The religious leaders are going to have me arrested. They're going to have me beaten. They're going to kill me. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And remember, Peter took him aside and Peter rebuked him and said, and told him, this ain't going to never happen to you, Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Jesus turned to him and Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you says the things of man and not of the things of God. See, the hardest thing for a friend to do is sit on the sideline and see another friend suffer. And so Peter didn't want to see Jesus suffer. But suffering was a good thing. God was going to take the suffering of Jesus and we're going to use that to save the whole world. Just think. If Peter would have prevented Jesus from suffering, then we wouldn't have had a Savior. See, God often take that which is bad and use it for a higher good. That's why I see the scripture says that my ways is not like your ways, and my thoughts is not like your thoughts. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. So sometimes God allows, listen to me, sister, sometimes God allows bad things to happen to us because God has a greater purpose in mind. See, if God would have rescued Jesus from that cross, we would not have any salvation. Aren't you glad that God allows his son to go to the cross? I don't know about you, but I'm happy that Jesus went to that cross and died for my sins and died for your sins. And now that Jesus Christ has went to that cross, now we have the rights to the tree of life. So my brothers, my sisters, be encouraged today. We don't always understand why things happen like they happen, but just realize that God is in control. And remember too that prayer changes thing. Oh, that music let me know I done ran out of time today. Look like the clock on the wall is saying that's just about all for this portion of the Situation Room. Thank you so kindly for joining us today. Now let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. All right. Now get ready now for a look in the book. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. A wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you gotta stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Now, let me warn you. If you come, you're gonna enjoy yourself. And then at 10 o'clock, we're gonna listen to Unshackled. That's a radio drama with real live people, and it'll make you face yourself and think. If you know somebody that's got mixed up on drugs or alcohol or sex, have them to tune in, because just like God unshackled them people, he can unshackle them. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. At 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.